Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Back in 1972, California voters passed Proposition 20, also known as the California Coastal Commission Initiative. The commission is a politically appointed body that is supposed to protect and preserve the 1,100 miles that make up the Golden State's coast. Prop 20 also guarantees the public's access to the coast. And then in 1976, the state legislature passed the California Coastal Act, which made Prop 20 permanent. But over the years, we've seen battles between the protection of private property and the rights of the people to access the coast. And the latest one is happening close to home. It's at Martin's Beach, which is just a mile south of Half Moon Bay. In 2008, Vinod Khosla, a billionaire venture capitalist and co-founder of Sun Microsystems, bought a home and 89 acres of property on Martin's Beach for $37 million. He promptly closed the only access road to the beach and put up a private property sign. For more than 5 years, citizens, grassroots organizations, and the California Coastal Commission have been fighting to give the beach back to the people. In an open letter to Vinod Khosla on February 3rd, the Surfrider Foundation wrote, quote, "As of writing this letter, it has been 2.5 years since we first wrote to you to ask that you engage in a dialogue about your closure of Martin's Beach to the public. It almost seems like you think by ignoring the community we will go away. We won't. We call upon you to step into the light and demonstrate that you are a constructive member of the community by engaging in a conversation with the community. Dialogue would eliminate the need for litigation and lead to an amicable solution to give the public access to the beach they cherish." End quote. So on today's Your Call, we are talking about this latest battle and the bigger question, who owns the coast? Have you seen struggles for coastal access where you live? Today, we're joined by Nancy Cave, District Manager of the California Coastal Commission's North Central Coast District Office, which is based here in San Francisco. She works on coastal development, permitting, and planning issues for San Mateo, San Francisco, Marin, and Sonoma counties. And Nancy has been working with the commission for 40 years. And Nancy joins me in studio. Hi, Nancy. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by Mark Massara. He's a surfer and attorney, former director of the Sierra Club's California Coastal Campaign. Mark is part of the legal team representing the Surfrider Foundation in the Coastal Act enforcement case against Vinod Khosla. Mark is also general counsel at O'Neill Wetsuits, and he joins us from Santa Barbara. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to talk about Martin's Beach.
Well, it's great to have you. And I should say that we did reach out to Vinod Khosla and did not get a reply. And I want to start off with you first, Nancy, because we have had guaranteed access to the coast since 1972, but we still see a lot of private beach signs. So first off, what did that law say, and who really has access to the coast?
Well, let me start by saying the California Constitution guarantees the rights of all citizens to their shoreline. That's in our state constitution. More than 80% of the citizens of California live within 50 miles of their shore and actively want to visit their shoreline. The California Coastal Act, which was passed in 1976, also contains strong mandates for providing public access when new development is proposed along the coast. And the commission and local governments with certified plans like San Mateo County look at the issue of public access when we are processing applications to develop along the coast and whether it's appropriate because of impacts presented by that development to require public access as a mitigation.
So basically, we have the right to access the entire coastline in California.
You have the right to the wet sand along the coast.
And sometimes, Mark, the problem with this is actually getting there.
Well, exactly. Vertical access ways are just as critical, if not more critical, than the horizontal access that we enjoy via the Constitution and the public trust doctrine.
So is there anything else to add? I just want to make sure that we're all very clear on this law and access. Do you have anything else to add, Mark?
Well, there is long, well-established law that use of private property to access the coast also creates public rights and prescriptive easements to continue that use in the future. So virtually the entire California coast has been continuously accessed for literally thousands of years going back to native populations. There's very little that goes on in the terms of, you know, you referenced private beach signs that are valid. What there are thousands of examples of people violating the Coastal Act in order to try to create private beaches in the misguided view that that creates additional personal property value to those property owners.
Yeah, because if you spend a lot of time at the beach, I mean, it's not unusual to see private beach signs. So, Nancy, how is this law enforced? And if I want to go hang out at the beach and I see a private beach sign, what should I do?
Well, you can always pick up a phone and contact your local commission office and say, I saw this sign. I mean, you can take a picture, give us an address. Each of our commission offices, unfortunately, one of them does not, has a local enforcement officer. And they can, presuming they have the time to do so, look into this case. Unfortunately, our enforcement staff is woefully understaffed and has far too many cases, so it's very difficult to enforce on everything reported, but that's how I would approach it if I were a private citizen, is I would contact the Coastal Commission and report it as an alleged unpermitted activity.
And how is this law enforced?
The Coastal Act defines what is development. It's a very broad definition. And then if you perform development, you need a permit. And so if you did development, like placed a structure, like a sign, without a permit, you need to get a permit for that or take it down. The Coastal Act provides enforcement remedies so we can take formal actions, and we can also litigate if we need to.
Okay, and later in the show, we're going to talk about what it takes to develop on the coast, because that is related to access.
Yes.
And then also, do you work with developers on these issues? And then more broadly, do you work with developers when it comes to conservation? So first off, though, let's talk about this latest case involving Vinod Khosla, a billionaire venture capitalist, co-founder of Sun Microsystems. In 2008, he bought a home and 89 acres of property on Martin's Beach for $37 million. According to reports. And again, we did reach out to him, but we didn't receive a reply. And very soon after, he closed the road on his property that led to the beach, and that's the only way you can get to Martin's Beach, and put up a private property sign. So by law, is he allowed to do that?
The County of San Mateo and the Coastal Commission both have open enforcement investigations on allegations of unpermitted activity performed by the landowner here. There has been a change in use here. There were two legal non-conforming uses occurring on this property, a commercial recreation opportunity and vacation rental leasehold cottages. This property is zoned for agriculture, but it has two legal non-conforming uses on it. One of those uses has ceased to operate, the commercial recreation. By closing the gate and making it only available to the leasehold occupants, you've changed the use there. That's where development has occurred. Our definition of development includes a change in use, whether it increases or decreases the intensity of use.
This is actually now getting national attention because it's been going on for 5 years. But Mark, how often does this happen where someone buys property and then puts up a sign that says private beach or even closes the road on the property that leads to the beach?
This is happening more often than you might realize. In fact, I can name a number of instances up and down the coast, particularly in Santa Barbara County, where the use of private security guards, no trespassing signs, and other activities that are defined as development under the Coastal Act are being aggressively undertaken by landowners in order to eliminate public beach access that has been occurring for many decades. As Nancy said, coastal staff is a bit overwhelmed with all of this activity. And our action is designed to call attention to the fact that these are, in fact, violations of the Coastal Act. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with Nancy and the Coastal Commission now for over 20 years. And to add to your comment earlier about just what does the Coastal Act require, the Coastal Act allows for any member of the public or environmental organization or nonprofit to undertake actions to remediate Coastal Act violations, and that's exactly what Surfrider Foundation is attempting to do with our case. It's clear that there has been a change in the use of Martin's Beach. In fact, Vinod Khosla's representatives admit that they no longer allow or want the public to be able to use the beach. They admit that they went to the county of San Mateo and conferred with the Coastal Commission prior to purchasing this property and were informed of a century of public access that had been occurring there. They admit to having engaged private security guards, putting up no trespassing signs, painting over billboards that welcomed the public to the coast, and a variety of other activities that have since eliminated public beach access. In fact, they sued the County of San Mateo in 2009, arguing that they did not need coastal development permits to eliminate the beach access. And in fact, they lost that case. The Coastal Commission joined the case, and the Coastal Commission and the County of San Mateo prevailed in that case. And for the last 4 years, Vinod Khosla has been thumbing his nose at the Coastal Act and the people of the state of California. And the reality is that the Coastal Act provides for penalties of up to $15,000 a day for that kind of activity.
It's a little confusing, though, because on the gate, the signs say private road and trespassers stay out. And NBC has a story about four friends who ignored the signs, skipped around the gate, and then walked to Martin's Beach, where they spent the afternoon surfing. And then San Mateo County Sheriff deputies showed up and arrested these guys. They were charged with trespassing, but then they dropped the charges. So if we've got the California Coastal Act law on the books, why would they get arrested?
Well, the normal response of law enforcement agencies when called by a landowner alleging trespass is, you know, if you don't own the property, they'll arrest you for trespass. When San Mateo County's district attorney and law enforcement looked into this further and realized that there were public rights of access to that beach, they refused to prosecute not only those surfers, but now anyone that wants to visit that beach is more than welcome to use those existing access ways. And Vinod has refrained from further aggressive intimidation and harassment of the public. But make no mistake, I mean, when I've been out there, the security guards have been on watch.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture what this looks like. So security guards are actually just standing, what, at the foot of the beach and not allowing people to walk in?
No, they're along the roads so that they can hopefully intimidate you from even going down to the beach. And this is what we see on properties in Santa Barbara County and elsewhere, that the security guards will engage beachgoers at the point where they're parking their car and getting out, and they point out that this is private property, that there's no access across this property, but gee, if you go a couple of miles up the coast, there's another access point that the public really should utilize. And this is real common in Malibu and Laguna Beach and elsewhere, where you primarily have very affluent, large, mansion-like homes along the coast. They begin to try to figure out ways to get the public to move along.
I've never seen anything like this up here, Nancy. How is this allowed?
Well, I mean, it's the County of San Mateo and the Commission both are actively trying to resolve this situation. The county formally requested our involvement in 2011, and I just want to correct something Mark said. Mr. Khosla actually sued the Commission and the county when the county brought forth concerns about planting trees along the highway without a permit to block the view. We had not taken an action. The county had just merely written a letter. They went to court saying that we had taken private property. The judge dismissed it because the commission nor the county had taken an action. The county has contacted and asked that they resolve the violation. The commission has contacted and asked that they resolve the violation. And in response, they have submitted applications. When an application is submitted, both the county and the commission have to take time to process that request. It's our desire, and I believe it's the county's desire, to resolve all these matters through these hearings on these applications, which will involve the public.
That is Nancy Cave. She's district manager of the California Coastal Commission's North Central Coast District Office, which is based here in San Francisco. She works on coastal development, permitting, and planning issues for San Mateo, San Francisco, Marin, and Sonoma counties. She's been working with the commission for 40 years, so she's seen a lot of changes over the years, and we'll talk about that later in the show. Mark Massara is a surfer and attorney, and he's part of the legal team representing the Surfrider Foundation in the Coastal Act enforcement case against Vinod Khosla. And again, just a little bit of background. In 2008, Vinod Khosla, a billionaire venture capitalist, co-founder of Sun Microsystems, bought a home and 89 acres of property on Martins Beach for $37 million. Martins Beach is about a mile south of Half Moon Bay. He promptly closed the only access road to the beach and put up a private property sign. The sign says private road and trespassers stay out. And this has been an ongoing battle for 5 years with Vinod Khosla. We did invite him to join us, but we didn't get a reply. And if you'd like to join us, if you live near a beach, what are your thoughts on these issues of access? Have you ever seen a private beach sign? Have you seen these security guards that Mark and Nancy are talking about? And just quickly, Mark, it sounds like these security guards, you're seeing more of them in Southern California than in Northern California. Is that right?
Well, to my experience, it is.
Nancy, is that right? Because I've never heard of anything like that up here.
I think you know, you have more of the population. There's more intense development in Southern California than in Northern California, more people wanting to go to the beach. So it seems reasonable to assume you see more instances of this in Southern California. That is not to say, and I'm a little biased here since I've spent 25 years enforcing the law in Northern California, there are equally important access ways in Northern California that the public wants to protect and secure. And maybe they don't have security guards, but there are also issues blocking access ways up in Northern California, too.
Okay, so if you've ever seen that, what did it look like? What was your response? What do you think about these issues? If you have had to deal with access issues in your area, we'd love to hear from you. And we all have access to the beach thanks to the California Coastal Act, which was passed in 1976. So what do you think about that law? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Marie Louise in Palo Alto. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning. Thank you. So I'm actually just calling to mention something from Sweden, where I lived for a number of years, and I'm from there. And there is a law there which is called Everyone's Right, although that is my translation, a much older word is used, actually. Anyway, so people have the right to cross other people's land, if we want to call it other people's land. I mean, we should be stewards of the land. Anyway, they have the right to do this. However, they are not to go near the dwelling of the owner of that land. So they have to stay at a distance from that. People are generally very respectful. They get to the water, or we are also allowed to do this with other properties. So it doesn't have to just be beach access. So in other words, you don't own the land so that you can make it into your very own piece of land with fences and, you know, gates. So, but if one thinks about it, that is not really going to disturb people, say, in Woodside, for example. Most people there would not become disturbed because people are not going to climb their fence and go in front of their house or such. So anyway, I just think, I'm sorry, I'm sounding a little peculiar here, but I'm just,
I
think that it is a generous way of being, and it would be very good if people could have trust and goodwill.
Well,
it'll often be said, well, here people aren't going to do that, you know, they're just going to trash things. Well, it's not necessarily so. It can be tried and practiced. And perhaps this might work well. And in fact, if any of you know about the Duvenex, which have a place called Hidden Villa, well, they're both dead now, near Los Altos, But they always said, we are stewards.
Hmm.
And they welcomed people to come on their property.
Well, thank you for calling, Marie-Louise. And we did, again, reach out to Vinod Khosla. And Nancy, there have been many attempts to reach out to him. Have you been able to contact his team?
We actually had a sit-down meeting with his legal staff shortly after we had been contacted by the county, and we wrote about the alleged unpermitted activity. And we reached out several times during that meeting to, let's talk about this. What does your client want to do with this property? Is there something we can resolve here? They showed no interest in having that kind of dialogue. They wanted the commission to take an action so they could litigate. And that was the message we got. And I can tell you that the commission staff does try to avoid that, tries to work things out. And I just want to comment that most people that use access do respect the private property interest. And when we do require and open up these access ways, it's defined where the access easement is. There's often a buffer between the private development. And I'd say the vast majority of access users are very careful about how they use these easements.
So is this unusual?
What
this case?
I think it's unusual to not have a dialogue, to not be willing to talk.
And it's gone on for 5 years. Mark, how has it gone on for so long, considering we have this strong public access law on the books?
Well, as Nancy has referred to, there's been a number of stops and starts. The property owner, you know, engaged in this litigation. They've also made overtures towards allowing public access. But today, in our litigation, they're taking the position that no permissions or permits are required whatsoever for them to eliminate the century-old public access to Martin's Beach. Just so that the listeners can understand exactly what our litigation and our judicial efforts are about here with respect to enforcement of the Coastal Act, the sole aim and goal of our litigation is to get Vinod Khosla to apply for permits. So once he agrees to participate in the coastal permitting and Coastal Act process, our litigation will be settled. So we're not arguing that Surf Rider or surfers or even, you know, the Superior Court or Vinod Khosla get to determine the nature and scope and extent of public beach access at Martin's Beach. That is the statutorily mandated job of the California Coastal Commission. In fact, the Coastal Commission has worked with thousands of landowners and balancing the rights for maximum public beach access with concerns related to privacy and security and private property rights. Once Vinod agrees to participate in the lawful process, our litigation will be considered a victory.
And that is Mark Massara. He's part of the legal team representing the Surf Rider Foundation in the Coastal Act enforcement case against Vinod Khosla. We did invite Vinod, and we did not get a reply. Nancy Cave is district manager of the California Coastal Commission's North Central Coast District Office. And again, we're talking about public access to the beach. By law, we all have it. In 1976, the state legislature passed the California Coastal Act, but we are seeing many instances of homeowners putting up signs or blocking access. So today we're talking about who should own the coast and who should have access. It's your call. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW San Francisco, a show that relies on engaged listeners. We invite you to join today's conversation by calling toll-free 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255, or you can post your comment or question on the website yourcallradio.org, where you will also find links related to today's show. Coming up in half an hour at 11 o'clock from the World Service of the BBC, World Have Your Say.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll continue our coverage of fracking in California. California Assemblyman Mark Levine recently told Reuters that he will co-author a bill that would place a moratorium on fracking. He said the drought is a game changer. We have to decide what our most precious commodity is, water or oil. So we'll talk about how much water fracking actually uses in California and what is next in this heated battle. And then Friday, it's our media roundtable. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us an email, feedback@yourcallradio.org. And if you'd like to join us today, we actually have full lines right now. We'll have one open in a few minutes at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Today we are talking about who has access, who should have access to California's coast. Well, really, it's already law. We all have access thanks to a 1976 passage of the California Coastal Act, which basically guarantees public access to California's coast. Over the years, we've seen battles between protection of private property and the rights of the people to access the coast. And today, we're talking about the latest one involving Vinod Khosla, a billionaire venture capitalist, co-founder of Sun Microsystems. In 2008, he bought a home and 89 acres of property on Martins Beach for $37 million, just a mile south of Half Moon Bay. He closed the only access road to the beach and put up a private property sign, and for more than 5 years, fishermen, citizens, grassroots organizations, and the California Coastal Commission have been fighting to give the beach back to the people. We're talking about this today with Nancy Cave, District Manager of the California Coastal Commission's North Central Coast District Office. She's been working with the commission for 40 years. And Mark Massara is a surfer and attorney. He's on the legal team representing the Surfrider Foundation in the Coastal Act enforcement case against Khosla. And we've got a number of callers on the line, so let's go next to Mark in Berkeley. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to recall a precedence to this problem. The community up on the north coast of Sea Ranch in the 60s used to be a sheep farm, and it's a 10-mile stretch of the coast, and it was turned into several thousand private residences. It's kind of an ungated community. And they strongly resisted any public access to the beach. And in a deal worked out with the commission, I believe went to court. They were mandated to have 6 public access points over that 10-mile stretch. The community was allowed to charge parking. It was sort of like no ranger parking boxes where you put some money in an envelope. The problem was the community was aggressively enforcing this with the Denver boot. That was, if you didn't pay the money in the envelope, they wouldn't give you a ticket. They would put a boot on your car, and then it would charge you a $100 removal fee. So that was the situation until Attorney General Lockyer declared booting to be illegal in that situation. So they don't go along with this agreeably, but they do go along with it. So that is some precedence to this situation. So it does seem like that the new owner of the beach should be mandated to allow access, although he may be allowed to charge a reasonable parking fee or something like that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mark. Why don't we get responses in just a couple minutes? I want to take a few more calls because we have so many. Let's go next to Aliha. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Eliah. And apparently there's another Swede that called in with a comment, but I figured I'd call in anyway. I'm from Sweden, and I grew up there, and we have something similar to the California Coastal Act, but for all of Sweden, and it works really well, and it's dear to all Swedes. And I think, so that's my comment, and then I had one question. I was wondering, what does the panel recommend that just general public could do to support the access to the beach?
Yes, thank you. We'll definitely talk about that in just a few minutes. Let's go next to Kevin in Felton. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Listening to this story, it becomes frustrating in the sense that the law exists, the law is explained to your listeners, and then there's no explanation for why the commission is unable to enforce this law effectively. there was a piece of legislation that I think failed in the California legislature in the last session that would have further empowered the commission to actually achieve enforcement. In other words, get these people who are obstructing access to cease doing so. And I'd like your guess, probably Mark would be the better person to answer the question because he doesn't work at the pleasure of the governor as the lady, I think Nancy, from the commission does. So could you please explain what the problem is that prevents the commission from effectively enforcing its own code? This is a broad-scale problem. The Fish and Game, Department of Fish and Game can't enforce its own code. This spreads all across California law. So please explain why the commission has to leave these unresolved cases hanging for years.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Well, since Nancy does, she's the district manager of the commission's North Central Coast District office. So, Nancy, why don't you take that first?
And I also want to preface that I worked in the enforcement program for 28 years. We are grossly understaffed. We are grossly underfunded, as is the Department of Fish and Wildlife, as is the Department of Parks and Rec. And it's a problem with not having enough staff to pursue and fully investigate over 1,000 cases of unpermitted development.
1,000?
Over 1,000.
How has that changed over the last couple decades?
It has not, because when we have a visible enforcement program, people know about it. They call in incidents of unpermitted development. So the fact that we have officers in all of our district offices, this is not something that has been in existence since 1976. These were hard-fought battles for additional positions in the early 90s. We fight every year for budget, and as do all other state agencies and the County of San Mateo, who I have to say has been in this fight just as much as the Coastal Commission. And what people can do, and if I can just talk about what the other caller brought up, you need to educate yourself on what access is available out there. And access has to be legally secured, obviously, either by a donation or by buying or as a condition of a development permit that the commission or a county could issue. The public has to be educated that this access belongs to them once it's secured. We publish regional access guides. We're trying to publish bilingual access guides so that people understand what is there and what is available. It has to be maintained. You have to have funding to maintain these access ways over time. You need to keep them clean. You need to maintain the buffers between private and public development. And the public has to use and respect them. And so if you want to get involved in this issue, fight for more funding for your state agencies that are stewards for you. Support bonds for opening these access ways up and maintaining them. Support your nonprofits and local governments that accept these access ways and maintain them for the public.
And Mark, you said that you've worked with the commission for the last 20 years, is that right?
Yes.
So what do you think of the commission's ability to enforce these laws?
Well, I think they're doing all that they can given very extremely limited resources, and that's in large part the answer to the caller's question, is that the Coastal Commission simply lacks the resources and the support, the budget support, in order to be able to tackle all of these problems and be aggressive in responding to every instance where you have, say, an elimination of public beach access. But there's a lot more to it. I mean, the California Coastal Zone is the world's most sought-after, expensive, and desirable dirt. We have an expanding population and an expanding number of very affluent people attempting to acquire and limit use of public coastal resources. And so you put all that stuff together, and what you get are sort of bold attempts to eliminate public access in the hope of increasing one's personal property values. You know, the callers from Sweden pointed out the strong laws there. Well, the response is that we have laws that are just as strong. I mean, the California has the public trust doctrine, which goes back to the Roman Emperor Justinian and the Justinian Codes of the 500 AD that, you know, purports to guarantee public rights to access of coastal areas. But you can't account for the random billionaire who buys a stretch of coast and closes off access and hires teams of lawyers to fight the government and the nonprofit organizations attempting to get access. If there's a silver lining, it's that our determination inevitably pays off. And Vinod Khosla may be attempting to take inspiration from the media mogul David Geffen, who managed to close access to his Malibu accessway for nearly 20 years. But, you know, the final resolve is that that accessway is open and available for public use today. And someday soon, so will Martin's Beach.
So because you're dealing with people that have endless amounts of cash and huge legal teams, this is also draining the budgets of the commission, for example, and like the Surfrider Foundation, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, Surfrider has benefited tremendously in our efforts because of the support of the powerhouse law firm of Joe Cauchette and Cauchette, Petrie, and McCarthy, and the assistance of Pete McCloskey, a former congressman and real civic activist, and bringing those legal resources to bear, you know, is the equal and match to whatever Khosla can bring to this tangle. And so we're really excited and fortunate to have a real dream legal team.
Well, and just quickly before we get back to calls, Mark, because the commission has to spend so much of their time on enforcement issues, they're also supposed to protect and preserve the coast. So how is this affecting conservation efforts?
Well, I'll let Nancy give you an answer to that. But, you know, the commission doesn't, to the extent possible, sacrifice one element of their jurisdiction to another. I mean, the commission is meeting today in Pismo and reviewing hundreds of development proposals, and they continue to do that month in and month out. I mean, if anyone is interested in how the coast is protected in California, you really should go to the Coastal Commission's website and attend their meetings, because it's really impressive. I mean, it's, in my opinion, the most responsive state agency with the most important mandate in the entire state of California.
And that is Mark Massara. He is part of a legal team representing the Surfrider Foundation in the Coastal Act enforcement case against Vinod Khosla, who in 2008 bought a home and 89 acres of property on Martin's Beach for $37 million, just a mile south of Half Moon Bay. He closed the only access road to the beach and put up a private property sign. For more than 5 years, the Coastal Commission, along with a number of grassroots organizations, have been fighting to give the beach back to the people. We're also joined by Nancy Cave, District Manager of the California Coastal Commission's North Central Coast District. She's been working with the commission for 40 years. And we've got full lines. We'll have one open in a few minutes. You can call us at 866 in a few minutes at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Just quickly, Mark, we're getting a lot of emails about the security guards. Earlier, Mark talked about a lot of armed security guards, mainly in Southern California, who basically tell people, you know, go to the beach down the street. Are these guards armed? Do you know?
No, and I can't make that representation. I guess it depends on the definition of armed.
Well, do they have guns?
They certainly have automobiles. They have radios. They call the police. I don't know that they have firearms.
Nancy, do you know?
I don't know.
Would that be legal?
I can't even comment on that. I think what you have is the physical presence of someone as you're trying to use an accessway. And if it's a legal accessway, a lot of public, if you see somebody standing there looking official, you're going to think twice about maybe using that accessway. Maybe you don't even want to engage in that officer. It's psychologically intimidating, mm-hmm. is the right way. I had a case a long time ago in Palos Verdes where the public had used a parking lot at Marine World to look at the coast on sunsets. They'd go in the parking lot and park. Property changed hands. New owner posted a security guard to stop people from parking in the lot. That was development. It was a change in use. The city came to us because their definition of development didn't include change in use. And we enforced there and said, you need a permit for that change of use. They decided to eliminate the guard and let the public back into that parking lot. Mm. That's just an example. I don't believe any guns were involved in that one. But it's more the fact you have someone there that looks official, that seems to be questioning your right to use this access way.
Well, there's so much interest in this. So let's go through a few more calls, and then we'll get responses from Nancy and Mark. Let's hear from Catherine in San Francisco. Hi, Catherine.
Hi there. I wanted to say that coastal protection is important to protect the coast because we need to have something there for people to enjoy once they have access to the coast. And Mark will be familiar with us. We're with SF Ocean Edge. We've been fighting a totally inappropriate development on San Francisco's coast, the Beach Soleil soccer fields. This project will pave over 7 acres in the coastal zone with 7 acres of artificial turf. It will install over 150 watts of stadium lighting that will be on until 10 o'clock every night of the year. Despite a Coastal Commission staff report that outlined the damage that this project will do to the beach and the park, and despite letters from Professor Travis Longcore on the damage the lighting will do to wildlife on the coast, and despite the impact of the lighting on users who come to the beach, the Coastal Commissioners bowed to heavy political pressure and approved the permit. This was part of the reason that Commissioner Steve Blank resigned from the commission, and it shows us very sadly that the coastal commissioners are now too susceptible to political pressure, and they are not fulfilling their mandate. We have a short YouTube video on our website, sfoceanedge.org, and I just want to encourage everyone that access is important, but let's make sure there's something that you want to see and to be and enjoy once you get to the coast.
Well, thank you for calling in, Catherine. We have a couple other emails about the development at the Beach Soleil soccer field. Do you want to comment on that, Nancy, before we move on to other calls?
The commission voted on this project. You know, as in any situation, any permit request that is presented to the commission, the staff makes a recommendation, and the commission considers that recommendation as well as public testimony. They made a decision here. They voted to approve this permit. That's about all I can say at this point.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Catherine. Let's go next to Andy in Redwood City. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Rose. How you doing? And hi to your guests.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, I understand from news reports that the previous family that had this property since 1859 was allowing access to the beach, which to me sets a pretty large precedent. I just find the actions by Mr. Casa completely outrageous, and just the arrogance, the unmitigated gall of this. Folks in the Czech Republic always tell me, I love to hike, and I've hiked around Half Moon Bay, that they love their country because they can go anywhere. They call it tramping. They can tramp on any public property. And what Mr. Kozel is doing is just indicative of the policies of our government, the neoliberal policies that create too many billionaires like this that have more power than the government, the state government, and the local county government. He's got more power, more money, and he's using that money like a hammer. And I just find that these policies have got to stop. We've got to, these turn these people into sociopaths. It really does with guards. This is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our government policies. He should be paying more of his money into the coffers of this state to help out the people that weren't, you know, as lucky and prosperous as he's been. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Andy. We'll get some comments in just a couple minutes. I just want to go through a few more calls. Let's go to Nick in Royal Oaks. Hi, Nick.
At this day and age, I'm supporting the closure. And the uproar, to me, is just the shark that ate the recovery. The way people are now, the surf riders, the Coastal Commission, they have no protection of that shoreline as this man who has closed the beach has done, and that was through his privately funded things. Mm-hmm. Something they should have. So,
what? Nick, I'm trying to understand, why do you support the closure of the beach?
Just the recovery, that nobody's fishing down there. I mean, there's an otter that might be able to rest on the beach. Mm-hmm. and not be chased off early. And the people that go down there, are they just escaping rangers? And when you just open it up to the public, I mean, that's kind of the things that happen now. I mean, can't something be closed?
Well, it is. It's a public beach.
Oh, well, the access. Well, that's,
the whole beach is public.
That's negotiations. What was this? Was that all Indian country too?
OK, Okay, well, thank you for calling in, Nick. The whole beach is public. By law, the public has access to California's coast. But thank you for calling. I was trying to understand why you thought it should be restricted. Let's go next to Catherine in Santa Cruz. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Rose. Thank you very much. I feel like Kevin from Felton's question was not really answered. I didn't understand all the sort of stuff that Nancy said. It didn't make any sense to me. Why are the security guards, private security guards, calling the police? Why don't the people call the police? Why don't the local police, the county sheriffs, the California National Guard come and enforce that law? It is the California law.
Nancy, do you want to address that?
The commission has worked in various sections of the coast with other law enforcement agencies. For example, in the Santa Monica Mountains area, we formed a task force with other agencies who had regulatory authority and law enforcement authority. And we educated each other on our laws and what they required, when a permit was required for development, what the definition of development is in our law. And as a result of that, we have a broader understanding. And there are law enforcement people that will call us about something that happened. The public does call law enforcement, and they contact us. The problem with cases like this is we wrote enforcement letters. They responded. We're responding to those letters. There is unpermitted development that occurred here beyond just closing a gate. There's been road work done. There was drainage work done. We've asked them to come in and file what's called an after-the-fact permit. They are in the process of doing that. They also sought an emergency permit to protect their road along the beach. That emergency permit was granted by both the county and the commission. Again, that emergency permit is temporary and requires them to come in for a follow-up permit or take out what they put in as an emergency measure. So my point is there are open processes right now that will ultimately come forth in a public hearing that the public can participate in and voice their opinions on what development is being proposed and what impacts it presents on coastal resources and what mitigation should be required. And both the county and the commission are quite anxious to have these applications completed so we can have those public hearings.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in, Catherine. We have an email from Joe who wants clarification of coastal access rights as protected by the Constitution. Can you talk about that, Nancy? She said she heard you said we have access to wet sand. Does that mean the high tide mark?
You have access to the wet sand below the mean high tide mark. That's correct. It's in your the state constitution mandates this, and the Coastal Act also mandates it. Public access policies are one of our strongest mandates. But there are physical barriers to getting to that coast, and you can't get to all of the coastline. You can boat in. You can try to boat in. You could kayak in. You could surf in. The problem is you then have to secure your boat or kayak or surfboard to wet sand. And then you're limited to using the wet sand unless there's an access dedication, a lateral access dedication right there that's been granted as a result of a permit action.
Mark, it's this case, particular case, has been going on for 5 years. Democratic State Senator Jerry Hill of San Mateo wants to introduce a bill that would require the State Lands Commission to negotiate with Vinod Khosla to purchase some or all of his land at Martin's Beach. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I share the caller's frustrations about public beach access. And I think the response is that the county and the Coastal Commission have done all they can in terms of cajoling and requiring and sending letters to the landowner to get them to comply. In this case, the landowner just refuses to comply. Our lawsuit is just 5 months old and is the result of this sort of failure on the part of the landowner to comply with the law. We view Senator Hill's legislation as ideally consistent with our efforts, in as much as our efforts invite Vinod to come in out of the dark and begin to lawfully participate in the coastal development process. If he refuses to do that, Senator Hill and his legislation gives Vinod 1 year to do that. If he refuses to do that, the legislation would require easements and or title to the road, the vertical access way to the sandy public beach, via eminent domain, in which case the landowner would have little, if any, say or control or protections in the future. So for me, the distinction is, does Vinod want to work with the public now, in which case his concerns regarding privacy and security will be addressed, or does he want to continue to stall, in which case eminent domain will be brought to bear, and it will be literally 24/7 wide open access to that beach?
And Mark, just quickly, we're getting so many calls and emails from people who are just sort of outraged, like, how did people get entitled to this land? How are there security guards on this land? Just in about 20 seconds, what precedent will this specific case set for future cases like this?
Well, look, in the words of the now-deceased former executive director of the Coastal Commission, Peter Douglas, the coast is never saved. It's always in the process of being saved. So if people want to help save the coast, they need to use it. It's use it or lose it. Go to the beach. That's the message.
Mark Massara is part of the legal team representing the Surfrider Foundation in the Coastal Act enforcement case against Vinod Khosla. We did invite Vinod Khosla, but he did not reply to our requests. Nancy Cave is district manager of the California Coastal Commission's North Central Coast District office here in San Francisco. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. Are we seeing a shale oil boom in California? On the next Your Call, we'll continue our coverage of fracking. California Assemblyman Mark Levine recently told Reuters that he will co-author a bill that would place a moratorium on fracking. He said the drought is a game changer. We have to decide what our most precious commodity is, water or oil. So how much water does fracking use? And what's next in this heated battle? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.